This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Greetings, loved ones. Let's take a journey.
The Roundup on Joy 94.9. From the nitty to the gritty.
For a fault to develop 2 years after the aircraft actually enters service, it's almost guaranteed to be a manufacturing fault.
The outright political.
You can't pay your respects to somebody that has left down a coal mine.
The frightfully bizarre.
I would tell George Bush I didn't have the grounds to call him a racist.
And everything in between.
I'm not lesbian. I'm not even kinda lesbian.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, and this is The Roundup.
Yes, this is The Roundup, and we are back. And if you're still lining up to get into the market, well, you may as well learn something. That's right, you're listening to The Roundup on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. I'm Anastasia Michael, and joining me today to bring you all your weekly gossip and opinionated current affairs is our resident rapper, Michael Pinterbonner.
Word.
And as always, the wonderful Ellie Petelia.
Hello.
Did I get the same?
No, totally wrong.
Oh, gosh. I am so sorry.
Try again next week.
I will. And we've also got a very special guest in with us tonight, Sarah, who's joining us for the first time.
Hello there.
Thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
Now, tonight we're going to be talking about some really interesting things. There's we're talking about the burqa being forbidden in France. No more. Nothing else.
Ooh la la.
I know. You're not allowed to cover your face anymore.
Sacre bleu.
This is a chance for Michael to work on his French talk. And we're also going to be bringing all the gossip straight from Hollywood, or I'll be bringing it to you. And I have some interesting news that you might like to hear about Lady Gaga, Michael. I know she's your latest girlfriend.
Yes, yes.
And we're also going to be asking you whether you think smokers should pay to smoke in public. But first, Michael, you have the Roundup.
Hi, Michael Pinterbonner here with a news and current affairs wrap on Joy 94.9's The Roundup. And it looks like more voters back Kay Rudd as leader of the Labor Party than they do Julia Gillard. Kay Rudd's trumped Miss Gillard with 32% of the vote compared to Julia's 23%. The Galaxy poll has also revealed that voters are split over whether we should go to an early election over the carbon tax. A landmark ruling by a Victorian court has found that a teenage boy's suicide was the direct result of bullying. 17-year-old Alim Helkir committed suicide in 2009 after weeks of bullying in real life and online. The boy's family, who pursued legal action over the matter, said they did not so for the money but to raise awareness of cyberbullying. It's been revealed that pop superstar Lady Gaga was left $2.8 million in debt because of her Monster Ball tour. Gaga, who performed the show more than 200 times, says she was unaware the tour had burnt a hole in her pocket. But fear not, the pop superstar's new album Born This Way is on track to sell 1.1 million copies in the US alone this week, ensuring Gaga won't be trading food stamps anytime soon. And The Market, Melbourne's biggest gay nightclub, has closed its doors for the last time. Punters are reported to have lined up Commercial Road for hundreds of metres trying to get into the venue for one last night. The club's been bought by a group of buyers, including North Melbourne star Glenn Archer and Lee Corbett, who plan to turn it into an international venue for high-end clients. And that is the news and current affairs on The Roundup. Back to you guys.
Well, thank you for a bit of Gaga news. I love that. Speaking of sluts, you guys, did any of you go to the slut walk in town on the weekend?
Every weekend's a slut walk for me.
No, I didn't go. I did not go.
Oh, look, I have to confess, I didn't go either.
I would have gone 10 years ago, but now that I'm an old crusty thing, my fishnets have been in retirement for about 10 years, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear. What do you think about it being called the slut walk, though?
That's a really interesting question. Actually, Anastasia raised a really interesting point earlier, that this idea of trying to reclaim the term slut as a positive sort of way of self-identifying. Do you think that's actually possible with a word that loaded?
Oh, I don't think nowadays.
As the ignorant man in the room, what is the slut walk?
Well, the slut walk, it actually started in Toronto, I believe. It's to do with comments that were made by a Toronto policeman who said on January 24th that women should avoid dressing like sluts in order not to be victimised, is the direct quote.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah. So it's a walk to basically, you know, re-empower women in and in what they're, you know. So just because I dress, you know, in a certain way doesn't mean that, you know, I'll get raped on the streets, basically. But I think that there is a problem with that word, because by using that word, it's not a very empowering word. Like, just because he called people sluts doesn't mean that people should try and take back the word, because it's not a word to be taken back, really. It's you want to find a word that's more empowering to me.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because like we see in queer communities the way, well, the term queer, for example, has been reappropriated, and so forth. But there does seem to be more, because it's basically a negative term from the get-go, because slut means unkempt, unslovenly woman, basically, is the actual meaning of the word. It'd be a tricky one too.
Absolutely. And I guess, you know, if you were a slut walker, I think we can use that term of phrase. Let us know how it was. SMS 0427 Joy 949. And don't forget to visit us on Facebook, The Space Round Space Up. You can search for us and you will find us there. Now, coming up, France has controversially banned the burqa from public, and we will be speaking to an expert who will tell us why. That is next on The Roundup.
Cut copy with Need You Now. You're listening to The Roundup on Joy 94.9.
Now, France's ban on face veils, a first in Europe, has been enforced for just under 2 weeks now. The new laws mean that anyone wearing the niqab or burqa in public could face a fine of $300 Australian dollars or have to undertake lessons in French citizenship. But while detractors are saying the laws are a victory for intolerance, those that disagree say the laws are needed as a matter of security. To help us get to the bottom of this is expert in Muslim and Women's Studies, Dr. Nasha Barfin from RMIT. Welcome to The Roundup, Dr. Barfin.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you're part of what you do at RMIT is you're an an expert in Muslim women's issues?
That's one of the areas that I sort of research.
Okay, great. And so we've just been talking about, you know, the new laws that's come into place in France. So what do you think that actually means for Muslim women living in France at the moment?
It's important to note that there's actually a bit of a different situation in France to Australia. The number of people who are actually wearing the burqa or the niqab, the face veil, is actually quite small, and there's a whole heap of political, machinations around the burqa ban, which was implemented, as you say, 2 weeks ago. Nicolas Sarkozy, the French president, is actually losing popularity to a quite conservative party, and so what he's doing, I think, is trying to show that he is trying to regain some of that lost ground and trying to say, well, look, I'm also tough on these issues that have resonated with French voters. But it becomes a pressing issue for a small number of Muslim women who practice this very conservative form of the religion. So I guess they're put into a difficult position. I do not wear the face veil. I wear the hijab, which reveals the face. And to me, I think if I was wearing the face veil and I was told to take it off, that would be like, you know, being naked.
Now, Dr. Barfin, you say that, you know, he's trying to sort of deal with these issues. What is the issue? Why does this even matter? Why is it on the political spectrum?
It's obviously resonated with French voters because France has a much more serious problem with ghettoisation of its Muslim and other migrants. You don't sort of see that here in Australia. You don't see it in big cities like Melbourne or Sydney. And even though there are pockets or suburbs where Muslims tend to live or congregate, it's nowhere near as bad as you would see in France, where there is very, very little integration with the wider community. And so a lot of French voters are saying, well, we've got this massive problem with our Muslim migrants. And, you know, that may be the case, that they have that problem, but they might also have problems with perhaps racism, with perhaps, you know, very uneducated sort of Muslim populace. So I think that's why that very right-wing party is actually making some ground, and Sarkozy has had to sort of step up to the plate and say, well, I can be equally tough on these issues. I want to protect the French way of life, and I'm going to, you know, do something that will hopefully get some of those votes back. So he's actually a very shrewd politician.
Yeah, and you've talked about it being different from in Australia. There's only a small number of women who are actually wearing the full burqa. So just, you know, this is something new to me, the terminology. So the burqa is the full face cover that just reveals the eyes, and the hijab is a headscarf.
Yeah, the hijab's the headscarf. The burqa's actually not, you can't sort of find it theologically, like in sources of Muslim law, but the burqa is found in places like Afghanistan, and it's a hideous garment. The point of it is to take away beauty.
Okay.
So, basically, it's quite a dehumanizing garment. It covers the face entirely. It just leaves a grill. I don't like it, but there is just no way in the world that I would probably endorse the mandating of what people can or can't wear.
Yeah.
So I suppose that would be my problem with it. The one that you're referring to, which reveals the eyes, is the niqab. But in modern discourse, I guess burqa reveals to both the niqab and the burqa itself. So anything that sort of covers the face, which is what the law in France is against.
So anything that covers the face, but not the hijab, which is just a headscarf.
Yeah, hijab. Well, the thing is, I find that a lot of people who are not Muslim or who don't wear any sort of head covering have very different reactions to the headscarf as opposed to the face veil. I think it's because in Western society, you know, a lot of communication revolves around the face, so people find it really uncomfortable when that's taken away. Like, for instance, we tell whether or not someone's lying by whether or not they're looking at us in the eye, right? So, yeah, there's a whole different reaction to the veil that covers the face as opposed to the hijab.
Part of the justification for this law that I've noticed that's being touted by conservative press is that women are being forced into wearing the burqa by religious extremists and gangs and things like that. How would you respond to those sorts of claims?
I think that's actually a serious issue, and there's a difference between, I guess, letting people wear whatever they wish to wear and where somebody, you know, forces somebody to wear it. It's probably a form of oppression in the other direction. So the only problem, I guess, would be with trying to enforce a law which punishes male relatives, for instance, for, sanctioning that sort of clothing among their female relatives. I would actually be in favour of such a ban, because it takes away that element of choice. The problem, I guess, is with such a law, it would require the female relative to come forward and, you know, for whatever reason, people may not be willing to do that.
Now, Dr. Barfin, can you tell us, you know, practically, you know, for the average person that's going down the street and is choosing to wear, you know, the full burqa, do you think that this is something that the French police, the French government is actually going to enforce?
We haven't actually heard of a lot of cases where they've done what the law has mandated them to do. There was a woman who was arrested, but she was charged with an offence not relating to her face veil. She was charged with protesting without the necessary permits. So it's going to be, excuse me, I'm in a really, really loud place, so I'm just going to escape.
That's okay, we can hear you fine. So
okay.
do you think that they're from this in France, and I think Belgium said they're considering it as well. Do you think there's any repercussions here in the Muslim communities in Australia?
I would find it extremely unlikely for such a law to gain the level of support that countries like France and Belgium have garnered in a place like Australia. I think that both major parties have actually spoken out against any type of ban that's similar to the sort that's enforced in France and shortly in Belgium. So I really don't think it's something that people would mandate here. You know, we're a lot more laid back, I guess, and any sort of notion of any nanny state-like notion of bans on people's clothing, I don't think would go down too well among the majority of Australians, even if it's cloaked in language that says that it's a positive thing that frees women from oppression.
Dr. Barfin, we have to say a very big thank you. You've helped unravel this for us here on The Roundup. And of course, we do want to know your thoughts. Do you think this is a good thing, a bad thing? SMS 0427 JOY 949. And we'll find out what you think next on The Roundup.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. JOY 94.9.
The JOY 94.9 Radiothon launch party is on this Friday at Red Benny's.
Featuring an amazing lineup of all your JOY favourites with live performances from Dolly Diamond, Jade Leonard, Trinity, Shirley Davis, Supergirly, Paris Wells and Zoe Badwee, plus
international superstar Gina G will be launching her brand new single on the night too.
Oh, the iHeart JOY Radiothon launch party at Red Benny's in South Yarra this Friday from 6:30 p.m.
Tickets are only $10 and selling fast, so don't miss out.
Book now by calling the lovely Robert on 1300 JOY 949. That's 1300 569 949, and they're only $10, so get in quick.
And Ellie will take her shirt off for the first five people that call.
I will not. Maybe I will.
Our line is open for your feedback. Call 1300 JOY 949.
Welcome back to The Roundup on JOY 94.9, where we're talking about the banning of the burqa in France. And of course, we do want to know your thoughts around this. SMS 0427 JOY 949 or call 1300 JOY 949. It is a very controversial topic. Of course, that has, you know, as we learnt from Dr. Nasha Barfin, has been something that's been on the French political plate for a very long time. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
It's in the trees. It's coming.
When I was a child, running in the night, afraid of what might be, hiding in the dark, hiding in the street, and a war was full of enemies.
Welcome back to The Roundup on JOY 94.9. Wow, that was Hounds of Love by Kate Bush. Now, don't forget, you can tell us what you think. SMS 0427 JOY 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. And we've just been talking about the banning of the burqa in France.
That's right. We have been talking about it. It's a very controversial topic. And as Ellie said, we do want to know your thoughts. We have had an SMS in saying that it's definitely a good thing. I believe in time people will view the burqa and as a sign of oppression of Islam women, as modern day foot binding or Hindu widows burning. So I guess the point being made there is that there are other things that have kind of been pushed by the YSI because they are signs of oppression, and this may be one of those.
Yep, we've had a text message in as well, and I guess it's from an Australian perspective. This is a question of equality. If no Australians can venture out in public with their entire body covered, why should one group of people be exempt? Well,
very good point. And you know what? A lot of people are saying that it's a sign of oppression, et cetera, et cetera. But I think one of those points that you've read, if somebody is making a choice about doing this and then you're forbidding them and you're making it illegal to have that choice, isn't that kind of the same thing?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. One of the women who was arrested in France, Kenza Dryder, two women were arrested in France at the demonstration against the ban. And Kenza Dryder told The Observer the day before she planned to demonstrate, and this is a direct quote, "I will be going about my business in my full veil as I have been for the last 12 years, and nothing and nobody is going to stop me." Those are not the words of somebody who hasn't chosen for herself, I don't believe.
Well, yeah. Maybe that's what we don't really know. It's like, I mean, I guess I don't really understand. What is it the woman's choice to wear this, or is it something that their culture expects of them, or if it's something that's actually forced onto them? I don't think, I'm not aware of whether what the actual choice is, really.
And then you've got a question, how, to what extent do you choose to engage with your culture and the values and sort of adhere to them, and to what extent are they forced upon you?
So very thin line. That's the problem with, like, a lot of people in France might not really know, you know, whether or not why the women choose to wear this particular item. They might think that it's a forced item or something like that, whereas it actually could be an actual point of, you know, I want to
I think in France it's more about the political machinations. There's, you know, so few women actually wearing those that full face cover that it really does seem to be about Nicolas Sarkozy winning back some popularity and more votes.
And we have had an SMS in around Nicolas Sarkozy. They've said that he is a reactive president and that he's all about the press. Just look at who he is married to, which is Carla Bruni, obviously, I can't say her surname. Famous
model, isn't
famous
it?
Model and singer, you know, and he gained a lot of popularity. They were kind of like the first couple in, well, they are the first couple in France. And, you know, that was a lot of sort of courting of the press with the choice of who he decided to marry as well. So there may be something in that argument that he is being reactive in this instance. Of course, let us know your thoughts. 0427 JOY 949. Now, coming up next on the roundup, Courtney Love weighs in on Lady Gaga.
I know you're going to love this, Michael.
I am. I love Lady Gaga.
It's gossip time on the roundup. Celebs are bad. Then we found out Anastasia and the crew will tell you what they did to Madonna's bad. Britney's sad. Lady Gaga's wearing a bag. It's gossip time. Gotta go. Gotta get on. Gossip time with the show. Gossip time.
Well, I've got to find my gossip. If you're wondering why I'm spazzing out tonight, it's because Michael's put me behind the desk and I'm actually trying to do this, but I'm not doing it very successfully.
You're doing a fantastic job, Anastasia.
Oh, now, the technology in here.
I know, it's all gotten a little bit much for this little gossip girl. We're talking gossip and I do have some interesting stuff. I don't know about you guys, but I've always been a huge Harry Potter fan. Anybody?
No.
Love Harry.
Right,
and
well,
pot.
Obviously,
Harry Potter.
Something we didn't know about you, Michael. Anyway, Helen Bonham Carter, who is Helena Bonham Carter. Oh gosh, I'm going to get that right. Who actually plays Bellatrix Lestrange in the movie? And Michael's giving me a very strange look. She has announced that she was actually left crippled with pain during the filming of Harry Potter.
Broomstick injury.
It was after falling off a table in a fight scene.
I didn't mean it like that.
Yes, well. In other science fiction news, and you could call that science fiction, Orlando Bloom, who has signed on to definitely play Legolas in Lord of the Rings. He played it in Lord of the Rings. He's coming back in The Hobbit to play it.
Now, what's The Hobbit in relation to Lord
of the
Rings?
The Hobbit is the prequel to Lord of the Rings. I'm a bit of a geek to this stuff.
Right, so. And he's playing Legolas.
He's not legless. He's an elf called Legolas.
So he has no legs and he's an elf.
Legolas.
That poor guy.
He does a lot of skipping for someone with no legs.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, interesting.
The one thing that catches Michael's eye is the fact skipping. That he's doing skipping. So on to the next thing. We all know Sean Kingston.
Word, yes.
Yes, you know him. Anyway, yesterday, which could kind of be today in America, I'm not too sure. Anyway, breaking news, he has actually been injured in a jet ski accident in Miami.
Broomstick injury?
Close. He smashed into a bridge.
Oh, ouch.
And he's actually in critical condition in hospital. Oh. So don't make fun of him, Michael.
I won't.
Sorry, who was that again?
Sean Kingston. He's a singer.
Okay. I think he had the one about getting low. Or no, that one. Anyway.
He was not the one who, I want to make you pregnant.
No.
I don't know.
Is okay. That a song or is that dream I keep having?
On to Lindsay Lohan, because we all like a little bit of Lindsay gossip.
I love Lindsay.
She's actually announced that she's going to be taking up a new hobby under house arrest.
Broomstick injuries?
Yes, she's working on broomstick. Let it go, Michael.
Sorry.
She is taking up painting. While she's under house arrest for all of her 120-day jail term sentence thingy for violation of probation, blah, 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 whatever it is that Lindsay's been doing. Anyway, she's under house arrest again. She's taking up painting.
Oh, God.
Don't you want to see the result of this?
I so want to see what goes on in Lindsay Lohan's brain.
Oh, she'll probably paint a picture of Herbie back from when she was famous, because that was her biggest movie, Herbie.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, Mean Girls then. Paint a picture of a mean girl.
On to Lily Allen. And if we haven't heard about her for a while, have we?
Mm, she's... She's always like, I love the press, I hate the press,
well,
I'm not into music.
She's getting married on the 11th of June. Oh. And she's, you know, been doing her, she's been writing about her wedding dress fittings and so forth. But supposedly she's turning to fashion journalism, which should be interesting. Because, I mean, I love Lily's songs myself. But, it'll be interesting
her?
To see if
she,
what are you talking
She wears
about?
Like 7-8 length pants. Like the pants that are not quite, you know, by just below the knees. The pants Ellie wears. Ellie's wearing.
Yeah, the pants Ellie is wearing right now. Do you want to stick your foot in your mouth further, Michael?
I knew she was wearing those pants.
Let me put my foot in his mouth.
Okay, well, let's get on to the next thing, seeing as Michael is doubling over in pain right about now. Courtney Love, this is for you. Has weighed in on Lady Gaga, saying that she's going to end up old and alone because her stylists have turned her into a weird, sexless Barbie doll.
Ooh.
And she's insisted straight guys just aren't into that kind of thing.
Yeah, but you know what? Lady Gaga probably doesn't care.
I've got three words: pot, kettle, black.
Kind of true. I think she's just, you know, she's trying to redeem herself of all the past, and now she's trying to pick on somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
Personally. Back onto crazies who are weighing in. Well, she's not so much weighing in, but she's checked in. Amy Winehouse is back in rehab.
Oh, poor love.
I know. And I bet she was on the straight and narrow. Last thing I heard, she wanted to have a baby. That was the last thing I actually heard about her.
The last thing I saw of Amy Winehouse was her on stage somewhere in the world trying to do a pirouette and then falling over halfway, which was quite cute.
Oh, that's why we love
funny.
Her.
And we've got news on Dame Helen Mirren. She has been voted in as the world's hottest woman over 50.
I would have to agree.
She's a bit sexy, isn't she?
She's pretty cool. Did she play the Queen?
She did. That's when she won the award.
Yes, I love that. That was really good.
Yeah.
Well, that is all of the gossip for today. You are listening to The Roundup.
Now, do you think smokers should have to pay to smoke in public? It's a good question. I don't know what I think around that. That is coming up next on The Roundup. First, though, we are going to be talking a little bit about the Gorillaz, and I am going to be apologising profusely to Ali for her 7-8 length pants. That is coming up next on The Roundup.
And welcome back to The Roundup on Joy 94.9. That was the Gorillaz with Stylo. Now, don't forget, you can tell us what you think. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Tickets are still available for the Radiothon launch this Friday night at Red Benny's. They're only $10. So give Robert a call on the switchboard on 1300 Joy 949.
Well, we've banned it from hotels, pubs, restaurants and clubs, but should we ban it altogether? The health impacts of smoking are well known, and under a radical new idea to stop public smoking, it's been proposed that smokers purchase a license to buy cigarettes. But is this bureaucracy gone mad, or does it make sense? When it comes to smoking, should smokers or the concerned passive smoker butt out?
Well, I think everybody should butt out. this is a bit crazy, this license to have to smoke kind of business. It's an anti-smoking campaigner, Professor Simon Chapman from Sydney University, has proposed swipe cards so that you can limit the number of cigarettes that you can get per day. So Health Minister Nicola Roxon has dismissed the idea off the bat, but there's some kind of talk about, you know, if we can reduce the number of cigarettes smoked, that there might be something like $6 billion lost in tobacco revenue, but that would be recovered by a reduction in the $31 billion a year in health costs spent because of cigarettes. So this guy who wants to give us a swipe card to allocate a number of cigarettes per day thinks that it will pave the way for a total ban on smoking in the next 10 to 15 years.
Now, do we think this is a good idea or a bad idea? SMS us 0427 Joy 949. Personally, I think it's an interesting idea, but we will find out your thoughts next on The Roundup. Welcome back to The Roundup on Joy 94.9, where we are talking about smoking bans and whether or not you should be forced, if you're a smoker, to purchase a license so that you can go to the place where you'd buy cigarettes and present it and then get your daily share. Good idea, bad idea?
I've got to say, one of the things about this scheme that particularly amuses is the idea you actually have to pass a test to get the license.
And what sort of questions do you have to ask? Like,
well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, is this a kind of a James Bond type test where they see if you can smoke 50 cigarettes while you're seducing someone in a casino? Or
do they see if you like bum suck or if you like smoke properly?
That's it. How cool do you look when you're smoking?
There must be something about the coolness of
it. I don't know. I think it's already been poo-pooed by the government of the day just because it would create a massive black market for cigarettes. It would impinge on people's rights. It's, you know, it's the stopping people from making an informed choice. Like, if you want to smoke in your own time, in your own place, smoke 100 cigarettes a day. I do not care. I think the issue is smoking in public places. You know, like, cigarette smoking is the only drug of dependence that you can do that directly impacts on me. So I'm standing at the traffic lights and I don't have a choice to be there, and you're standing next to me and you blow your smoke in my face and that gives me lung cancer. That's, you know, I could be sitting next to you on the bus and you could be doing a shot of heroin and I might feel a bit icky watching that, but I'm not going to be actually physically harmed by that. Cigarette smoking is the only one that you do that harms me. It's outrageous that we still allow it in public places.
Now, of course, we do want to know your thoughts. 0427JOY949 is the SMS number. We've had an SMS in saying that alcohol is equally damaging in society and education is better than dictating what people should be able to do. That is a very valid point. We've also had another SMS in which says that it's a great idea. You know, there's a lot of positive advertising around smoking, you know, stopping smoking at the moment. There's that campaign out there. Each day you get better and you keep getting better, but people don't respond to that. It's an addiction, so that's going to do nothing for them.
Yep, we've had an SMS here. I don't smoke and I am against smoking. I wish people would give up this dangerous habit, but seriously, a license to smoke?
Very good question. It's a bit ridiculous. As you said, a big, scary black market could happen out of this.
I've got to say, though, like, as a sort of a reformed trash bag and I sort of reluctantly gave up smoking for my health, well, on and off over 10 years, as I'm sure is the story with most people. And the first time I gave up smoking, which I successfully did for a year, I was so unbearable to be around in that year that my best friend actually took me aside and said, please start smoking again or I'll kill you.
I did that with my partner when he stopped smoking. And I'm just like, you start again. This is driving me nuts.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Again, you know, then he managed to do it the whole way and it was all okay.
Yeah, like it's all good and happy smiles now. Yes.
Now, I think we can all say that smoking is something that is very bad for your health. And a lot of people take up the habit. I think something like 95% of smokers actually start to smoke between the ages of 13 and, you know, lower than 20.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's a status symbol and it's about, you know, being in the cool group at school sort of thing. Very few adults take up smoking, you know, in their, you know, mid-20s, 30s sort of thing. So the rationale behind this license is that kids are not going to be able to afford the actual license to go and purchase the cigarettes because, let's face it, sometimes you can still get cigarettes when you're underage.
Well, you just get some, like with booze, you'll just get somebody who's overage and got a license to get them for you and then sell them to you at exorbitant prices. You know, I think that the plain packaging idea and also the fact that they're not visible behind the counter now, you know, and the shopkeepers are not allowed to tell you the price of the cigarettes until you say what brand of cigarette you want.
Absolutely. Let's take a little bit of the status symbol out of that, because some research that I was reading has actually found that teenage girls will smoke one of the harder, manlier brands of cigarettes because they want to be seen as tough and they want to be seen as, you know, don't mess with me sort of thing. So teenage girls, which is, you know, completely the wrong target audience for the actual brand of cigarettes, are taking up this particularly harsh brand of cigarettes because of
that's
the image.
That's very true as well, because when I was a teenager and I was like, oh, I want to try this because it's so cool, I remember going and buying this the stronger ones just because I thought it would make me tougher and just it would just make me cooler that I was like hardcore and I could totally take it.
And then we've had a couple more SMSs in and we do want to hear what you think. 0427JOY949. I really love this one. It says, if your family or friend was addicted to heroin, you would do anything to help them. Why do we not do the same for smokers as they continue to kill themselves? I think that's a very true point. And
importantly, they kill you and me and the rest of the people who are walking on the street or standing at the bus stop when they're doing it, which is not what happens with heroin. I've had another SMS in here. Unfortunately, history is full of people like Simple Simon. I think they're referring to Simon Chapman from the University of Sydney, who make it their own business to tell others what they can and cannot do. They used to be called Nazis. Obviously, that's a smoker.
That's an interesting point of view.
I know. Indeed. Indeed. So let us know your thoughts. SMS us in on 0427JOY949 or email us onair@joy.org.au to smoke or not to smoke.
That is the question.
That is the question indeed.
And of course, you can visit us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/therounduponjoy94.9. And we would like you to be our friends because it's very sad when you don't have many.
I know. We've got 57.
And well, I know that from being a smoker.
Stick around on The Roundup.
This is Adele with Rolling in the Deep.
I'm feeling really sad.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay yours, bitch, babe.
Welcome back to The Roundup on Joy 94.9, and you just heard the most beautiful and soulful Adele with Rolling in the Deep.
Oh, God, all the women in this room are love, love, love Adele. Now, you are listening to The Roundup on Joy 94.9, where we've been talking about smoking. Should we force smokers to purchase a license so that they can go and buy their cigarettes? We've had a couple of SMSs in. We've had one from Maureen. Maureen says that sometimes when you want to give up something, you need a bit of a push. And I think the license may be the perfect way to be pushed over the edge. It could be a very good point, Maureen, and I think that, you know, it could go some way to helping you stop smoking.
Indeed. We've got one here that's linking cigarette smoking and climate change. It's very curious indeed why nobody has associated this product with climate change. Burning tobacco creates gases that affect the ozone layer.
So does farting.
I was just going to say, Michael, there's a few gases in this room that when we open the door might affect climate change.
There's a lot of hot air in this room as well. We've had another SMS in saying that instead of selling cigarettes, companies should sell nicotine patches straight to the source of nicotine without the harmful smoke tar. I've often wondered that. I don't understand much about cigarettes. So why do we not just sell nicotine patches?
Because people are addicted to the coolness of, I don't know.
Is it the action?
It's an action. It's everything.
It's as much a psychological addiction as it is a chemical one. And also nicotine patches are rough, I've got to say. They're wonderful, but
we do love to hear what you say on The Roundup, 0427JOY949, or visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRoundup on Joy94.9.
Indeed, and that is The Roundup for another week. We want to thank Dr. Nasha Baffin for having a chat to us about what's going on in France at the moment. Also, don't forget, so exciting, it's Radiothon next week.
Woo!
Do you know what that means? There are $30,000 worth of prizes that Joy is going to be giving away, and every single new member or member renewal will get a CD from Joy.
Do I get one?
Yes, you will get one.
Cool.
I reckon you'll get one. Maybe you'll get one.
Cool.
Yeah, you'll get one. And next week, we're going to have a prize to give away to you if you join up on our show.
A lap
next
dance
week.
From Ali. Oh. Or Anastasia.
Or Michael, if that's the way you lean, you know, so to speak. So thanks, everybody. That's another roundup for the week.
I think we need one more thank you to me for trying to channel for the first time in 2 years. It's been first time behind the decks.
You can't thank yourself.
I think I deserve to thank myself for
this. I'll thank her. Thank you, Anastasia. You've done a wonderful job. And thank you so much, Sarah, for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
First time here after doing the Taste of Radio course.
Indeed. And to finish things off, we're going to go down the smoking aisle again. This is Smoke City with a little bit of Underwater Love.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.